here this morning, and we got plenty of people that we're praying for that are sick. I was going to preach on I'm not washing my hands. It'll just get dirty again. That's a good title for a sermon. I'm going to build a sermon on that someday. I learned that title from you. When you was going to have the restroom, I said, you're not going to wash your hand? No, it just get dirty again. You know, I found that to be true. I don't want my waiter practicing that if I'm eating at a restaurant, but I'm afraid some of them do. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 19, 1 Kings 19. If you're able to stand, then look with me in this passage here. The Bible said that when you begin to look into this lesson, verse number 3, here's what he says, and when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and noticed the language, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, an angel touched him, and he said unto him, arise and eat. And the next verse tells you that he brought a cake that was baking on the coals, a cruse of water, so forth and on. Well, he goes back to sleep. He did eat and he drank and he lay back down. In verse number 7, he's told it a second time. But then in verse number 8, he's instructed to go to the mountain of God in Horeb. And he says that you better go there, and you're going to have to go on the strength of this stuff you've eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the Bible said that whenever he gets over there, God asked him in verse number 9, he says, what doest thou here, Elijah? That's a good question. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts and the children of Israel, have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go and stand upon the mountain. And then as a result of that, the Bible said there was a great and a strong wind that God brought by, but God wasn't in that. There was an earthquake finally came by, but the Lord wasn't in that. There was a fire that came, but the Lord wasn't in that. And then after that, there was a still, small voice that began to speak to Elijah. I wonder, while that you and I look at that and we see that in verse number 13, and it was so that when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, this is the second time, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, Father, bless your word to every heart, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder, call to my remembrance everything you'd have me speak, nothing more, nothing less. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while, then, if I will. What are you doing here? It might be a question of what are you doing in this condition? I mean, here's a man that's already obeyed the Lord, faced a king by himself, said it ain't going to rain anymore, and there's not even going to be a dew except by my word, thus saith the Lord. Turned around, left him, went another direction. 3.5 years later, he meets that king again who wants to kill him but afraid to now. And as a result of that, you'll find that he goes up and he approaches him and tells him, you're the one, Ahab, that's been troubling Israel. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Here's a man that was able to challenge all of those 850 prophets that were sitting, 400 of them at Jezebel's table. And as a result of that, faces all of them in defiance against their falsified doctrine. Now, I want to tell you something. Is that after that, tells them and challenges them to fix up their offering and take a bullet and choose it, put fire there, so forth and on. And I want you to get ready to see if you can put no fire under it and see if God will answer, if your God will answer. And of course they didn't. And they prayed and they finally got to the place where they were desperate, and they got to where they were jumping up on the altar, cutting themselves with lancets, blood was gushing out. He mocked them and made fun of them, because that's what you ought to do with false religion. Why would you want to be sincere to any religion that would doom and damn somebody to hell? And yet, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that I've had people, you know, because I made a statement about the Pope being the dope that he is. And even if I wasn't a Christian, even if I was nothing but an atheist, I wouldn't believe a Pope running around in a silly looking clown suit. I mean, I just would. Some things that you can just deduce by your intelligence, if you've got any at all. Somebody said, I don't like him talking about the Pope. Well, go ahead and follow him then. He'll lead you straight to hell. You'll not pass go, and you'll not collect $200. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that here's that man of God. You would think, being bold as he was, being, I'm talking about man, a man of direction, a man that had a direct message, and a man that had no hernia on his lung, no bunion on his tongue. And I want to tell you something, is that he was a bold man. Now he's on the run for his life after they slew those 850 prophets that sat at Jezebel's table and that were in the regime, under the regime of Ahab. And boy, I'm going to tell you something, is that somebody went over there and Ahab, he goes back home, the whiner that he is. You remember that when he was whining about getting Naboth's vineyard, how she went ahead and hooked and crooked and got it for him. Well, here he is now going back whining. I guess he's probably scared of old Jezzy. And he walks in there and Jezebel, and he tells her of what's happened and how that all the prophets have been slain by that man by the name of Elijah. She said and swore an oath and said, the gods do more to me, and if you're not the same way that the prophets were by tomorrow at this time. In other words, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to have you killed. Now, as a result of that, here's a man that used to be real direct, bold as a lion. Now he's depressed and on the run for his life. You ever been there? Hey, you'd think that a man that walked in, preached a short sermon, God honored it, prayed 63-word prayer, God honored it. You'd think that a man like that would be full of boldness, but he's not. He's not. I want to tell you, there's been times that God was intervening in our behalf. You know, if you're not careful, and I don't want to say this to be ugly, but the worst enemy you've got is an independent Baptist that wants to be God in the place of God. I want to tell you right now, you make no mistake about it, some of you are sick here this morning. And you're not more than, it's more than just a little sneezing cold. Last time somebody gave me some kind of disease, it was just an allergy, but that's all right. God bless you, Sister Frey, right there. So you'd think we'd rehearse that, wouldn't you? I want to tell you right now is, you don't have cancer because God's against you. You don't have some other kind of thing going on because God's against you. You don't have marital problems because God's against you. It's because one of you not in your place with God. That's the reason why troubles like that arise. Let me tell you, this man went for 40 days and nights by a meal that God prepared for him, and he's about to go and to find out the mind of the will of God. And by the way, I want to tell you something. There was a man by the name of Balaam. Remember him? Now, Balaam died and went straight to hell, no doubt about it. But he had a message that came from God. Preachers don't like to admit that. God even talked to him and used him and delivered a message from him because they want to think, well, God wouldn't talk to anybody like that. Well, thank you for not believing the Bible. And I want to tell you something. The king of Moab said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to curse these people of Israel. And old Balaam, he wanted to. And he couldn't. God wouldn't let him. He went back to Moab, to the king of Moab, Balak is his name, and he went to him and he told him, he said, I'll tell you something, I can't curse whom God's already blessed. Well, I got news for you, church. When Jesus established the church, gave himself for the church, saved and sealed the church, you can't curse what God has already blessed. You remember that the rest of your life. I'll tell you the reason why. We're living in a world that's got the veil of death upon it. And the sentence of death, because the wages of sin is death. And there's not one of us in this building, if the Lord tarries his coming ere many years, that death won't come to our door. He's already been to our doors more than one time in this church. Sometimes I sit with you, and sometimes you sit with me. That's just the way it is. And, Lord, I want to tell you something. We're not saved and living for God so we can get something out of God. We're saved by the grace of God because of who that He is and what He has done and snatched us as a brand from the burning. Here's a man that lay and said, it's better for me to die than to live. You think, oh, Elijah was out of sorts with God? No. No, he was out of energy. He had already been running ahead of Ahab. He had already been preparing for that rain that was coming. He had already got out there and slew all of them prophets. And I'll tell you what he did was, is that here's a man that went and running the horse and chariot and ran on foot. And now he's sitting under a juniper tree. Hey, let me tell you something, Mama. If you exhaust yourself, you're going to finally get depressed sooner or later. Your husband putting too much pressure on you. By the way, you know, my wife, here's what she does. Pray for her, too, by the way, and she can restore her health because she takes care of me like I was just some kind of kid and puts my napkin on me and brings me my food and this and that and all of that business there. And she is so kind and so passionate, and she lays stuff and right there, okay, you want me to get you anything else? No, I'm good. Now these girls are doing it. It's like this here. And they come wait on me hand and foot. There's your supper. you want some breakfast? Hey, you like eggs, do you? There you go. Want them over easy? Oh, there you go. How about that? Like somebody was in a restaurant. I didn't want mayonnaise on this. Never mind. How about that right there? How about that? I just said all that to be able to say this. You ought to be able to live for God and serve the Lord and know every now and again there's a little rust put on the blade. Every now and again something comes our direction. Something that's not dynamic. Something that's depressing. Something that needs the touch of God on it and the hand of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad God is still sitting on the throne and everything's running right on time. See? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you what I did notice something about it. Here's a man that wishes he could die rather than live. I mean, when you think back to how strong he was in the Lord and now he's wanting to die, I got to tell you right now, there's probably, if you lined up 50 independent Baptist preachers, they'd probably tell you 300 lies. They don't have a clue what's going on. I got to tell you right now is that if you're living as clean as you know how to live, you're walking with God as much as you know how to, don't you think for one minute that God ever owes us anything whatsoever, and don't you think that you're walking around with some kind of a heck. That's just a lie spawned from hell. God is able to deliver us from the guttermost to the uttermost, and He always has been. I was thinking about in this lesson that you're looking at is that he said it best. He said over there, he said, Balaam told Balak, he said, listen, God has blessed the people of Israel, and I cannot reverse it. Well, I will tell you, when I got saved by the grace of God, God gave me everlasting life. And let me tell you, the devil can't reverse that. Shame on him. But he has no power whatsoever. He may want to try to damage your testimony, but he can't do one thing about you being saved by the grace of God and hell-proof and heaven-bound. Now, I noticed something else about that. Is that, do you realize at all that when you're in the path of obedience, this man here done everything God told him. He was in the path of obedience. He went over there and he addressed Ahab. He went over there and he challenged Ahab and all their prophets. He went over there and he listened to Jezebel and all that crap. And let me tell you, here's a man in the path of obedience. And he's sitting down wishing that he could die. Do you remember over there in the book of Matthew? Don't turn there. But in chapter number 14, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples to go to the other side, and as they were crossing over there in, Gennesaret, and they were going in a ship, and while they were in the path of obedience, following the word of the Lord, the worst storm that they've ever faced in their life came upon them. In the path of obedience. Don't you think just because you live right, walk right, and talk right, and spit a little white, that there's not going to be some things come your way in life? See? I mean, I know what you're thinking about. I think all them things myself, too. here my wife sitting back there, got a rod in her leg. And here she sitting back there, got maybe a cancer in her lung. Here's a dear sister there by her, one of the finest, remarkable ladies that I've known as well. And can you explain all of that? No, I'd rather Nancy Pelosi have all that. I'd rather Maxine Waters. Man, what an obnoxious Negro she is. I'm not saying that because she's black. I know some black people that are not that obnoxious. You see what I'm talking about? People don't like it whenever I say something about Al Sharpton that's dull as a knife or Jesse Jackass as dumb as Jackson. See, that's what's wrong in the day we live in. We're expecting some pie in the sky. By the way, some of you make some good pies. And it's good to sit down and enjoy it. Now here's a man that right here is in a bad way. Here's a man that needs something from God. And by the way, do you realize that we don't always want what God wants? Here's a man requesting that he might die. Do you realize that he was translated finally that he should not see death? Do you know the Bible said that whenever he goes, he's instructed, and he said, listen, when you go back down the road there and where you ought to be and retract and so forth and on, I want you to go by and I want you to, in verse 15, and anoint a man by the name of Hazael, and then I want you to go in verse 16 and anoint a man by the name of Jehu, and then I want you to look in verse 17, and I want you to anoint Elisha to be a prophet in your room or in your stead. Now, I want to tell you what he said was when you begin to look at it, and I want you to look in verse number 17. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And he said, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. I got news for you. He's talking to Elijah. This is the Lord. Here's what he said. I've got 7,000 whose knees have not bowed to Baal. Did you ever notice God's been looking at our knees? Seeing who we bow to, seeing who we really believe. See? I'll tell you something, and I'm not some always people, and whenever I'm in a bad way, you know, I remember whenever I had the stroke and all that business there. God's been good, and if I never get any better than I am right now, God has been good to me. But I've had people, you know, and they want to tell me, what, Joe, I got news for you, honey. Whenever I'm sick, down and out, or lost one of my best loved ones, and I'm crying and weeping in heaven, I'm not interested in what Job did. I'm not Job. I'll never be the kind of man Job is. I'll never be able to be the kind of Christian Job is. I thank God that God's put him in there so that he might encourage us. But any time and every time something comes up, they want to remind me about Job. My name's not Job. Serve the same God, but I'm not near the man or ever will be that Job is. I got to say to you that if you will, by the way, that's a good reason. What about old Job, by the way? Did you notice, was he out of the will of God? Was he on the wrong track? Was he doing the wrong thing? No siree, buddy. Now his friends thought he was. His friends talked down on him. And finally God put something on him and said, until you get Job to pray for you, you're going to be in this bad way. Remember that? I want to say to you as we get ready to close that when God got on these three men, Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha, they got in the killing business. Now, you and I are not to be in that kind of business whatsoever. But I want to say to you that as these men begin to wield those swords and as they begin to slay people, here's a good question for you and I to ask. What side of the sword are you on? The slaying side or the saving side? God used this book right here to either save you or slay you, one or the other. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I'm saved by the grace of God. Every now and again, here's a man, you're going to have to go and return. And he had to recover some 150 to 180 miles. Some scholar looked it all that up, and if he's got it close, he had to go back and cover some ground that he had already lost and get ready to be able to turn back and to go further north, some 300 miles. I forget how much they tow. But what I do know is this here. is that you're going to find out that while he was busy out there, he said, when you go back by there, Elisha, he said, he's got some oxen he's plying with. And he said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to follow him, and I want you to anoint him to be prophet in your stead. And verse number 19 on tells you about that story that's there. This Bible said that, if you will, that our job's to plow, our job's to sow, and it's God's job to call somebody into the family of God or the service of God. And in this lesson that we're looking at, just remember that Elijah had done the will of God. Just remember that depression comes even to those that have done the best they know how to be able to serve God. Just remember that in the path of obedience is the right place to be able to go. And God will lead you, guide you, direct you, and protect you every step of the way. And that doesn't mean that you'll never have anything wrong with you. See, there's going to be some things that are going to come our way in life. God may just want to show somebody what a real Christian looks like under pressure. And sometimes that happens. I want to say in closing that, if you will, that you better just remember that he went over there to Horeb. That's the mountain of God. He got in a cave. Remember that? He was looking at that great wind that came by. God wasn't in that. He looked at the earthquake. The Lord wasn't in that. He looked at the fire that fell, and the Lord wasn't in that. And finally, he calmed down enough that a still small voice got his attention. Do you think maybe that's the way it happens with you and I sometime? We're looking for God to be in such a turmoil and uproar as we are until we finally settle down and listen to a still small voice and know he's God. Stand still, the Bible says. And know that I'm the Lord. And sometimes that's a hard thing to be able to do. It's a hard thing to be able to do. But let me tell you right now, God's grace will be, always has been, will be right now, will be sufficient for you and I. I wonder this morning, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Are you saved by the grace of God? While we have our musicians come, our song director, we're going to sing a verse this morning. And I don't know exactly what the number is till yet. Do you know?
165.
We're going to be singing that here in a moment. It might be you'd say, preacher, I'm glad to know that I'm a part of the family of God. You may be going through some trials and troubles and struggles that we'd rather not, but nonetheless, it's upon us. Whatever the need is, I'll know it. But while we pray, Father, there might be a young man, a young lady, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that needs something real from God. I want to say thank you, Lord, for loving us while we're unlovable. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing in our church and for these folks that are here, those that are sick. I pray you'd restore them, Lord, in accordance to thy will and way. And we'll say thank you for loving us in advance for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?